So last week, we began answering the question, how do we go from wanting to do what is right to actually doing what is right? And we are answering that question from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now, on your sermon outline sheet, I have included the entire text for you. There are two primary sections. There are words that are underlined, and there's other words that are put in bold print. And the words that are underlined are references to the mind or to the intellect. I covered that this last Sunday. And then tonight, I will explain why certain words have been put in bold print. But last week, we focused on section number one, and that was verses 17 through 19. Tonight, we are going to reread the entire section again, and we're going to focus on section number two, or what would be verses 20 through 24. I am sharing tonight the second half of the message, Walk This Way. So, if you would like, just follow along on your sermon outline sheet, also on the screens to each side of me. And the first part of this is section number one. And that is, there are four characteristics that show we are walking according to our old nature. This is the way it is written in the text. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. And then we go into section number two. There's four characteristics that show you are walking according to our new nature. It says it like this: but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you allow the words of your word to resonate in our heart? Would you clear up areas of confusion? Would you allow us to fully embrace the truth that is outlined in Scripture? May you guide us into that truth by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those who were not here this last week, or for those who just need a recap in general, here is a 2 to 3 minute recap of what we covered this last week. Verse number 17, it picks up on a theme that began all the way back in verse number 1. And the theme is that of walking. So verse number 1 of chapter 4 says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And then it picks up in verse 17, walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Now that term Gentiles, it referred ethnically to all non-Jews. It referred religiously to all pagans, or those who did not know Christ. So Gentiles, it describes in this context a reference to pagans, those who do not know God. So here's what Paul is saying. Do not walk like, do not live like those who do not know Christ. So then in verses 17 through 24, he contrasts that pagan walk with a godly walk, and he gives four characteristics that go along with each of those two categories. The key that I'm wanting us to see in this text is that the godly walk according to their new nature, which is found in Christ. That is what led into our key truth from last week, same key truth from this week. The freedom you want is found in the new nature you have. Let me say that again. The freedom you want is found in the new nature you have. So the new nature, it is absolutely essential to a person walking right, and it's also essential to that person doing right. So that big question again is, how do we go from wanting to do what is right to actually doing what is right? Well, a key part of that is you walk according to your new nature, which is found in Christ. Now, we're looking at this from three different angles, and I covered all of these last week in the sense of I told you the three angles, but we only got started on the first of these, and tonight we will finish out the rest of that as well as the other two. But here's what we need to be able to see. We need to be able to recognize the old from the new. We need to reject the old by believing the new. We need to renew the mind so that you can live the new. Each part of that is important. Recognize, reject, renew. Recognize, reject, renew. That's the process that we're going to be walking through. So part of recognizing the old from the new is to clearly see what the Word of God says about the old nature and the new nature according to Scripture. So in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul clearly describes our spiritual condition prior to Christ. This was what that old nature looked like. We were, according to Ephesians 2, spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, sons of disobedience, living according to the lust of the flesh, by nature children of wrath, separated from the covenants and the promises. We were without hope, we were without peace, we were without God in this world. Then you go into chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, and the Apostle Paul adds four more characteristics to that list. A pagan walk, or those who are walking according to that old nature, it is characterized as being intellectually futile, spiritually deceived, personally calloused, completely depraved. Now, the scary part that we find in verses 17 through 19 is Paul is admonishing Christians, and he's saying, you are no longer to walk like that. The implication is there were people who were believers that were walking like that. In other words, they were free, but they're still living like they're in bondage. They had truth that was before them, unbelievable truth, immeasurable truth, and yet they were continuing to believe lies. They knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, yet they were becoming calloused by their connection to sin. They had all of the riches of heaven at their disposal, and they're living like spiritual paupers. And so the Apostle Paul, then in verses 20 through 21, he says, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Basically, Paul is saying it like this. One of two things is happening here. Either you are rejecting the truth that you learned about Christ, because I guarantee you, you did not learn Christ in that way. Or number two, you have not yet met Christ. There's only one of two options that's happening here. That's where we left off this last week. So now, in verse number 20, he begins the process of shifting from this is the old pagan walk, four characteristics that went with that, to now this is the new walk in Christ. There's four characteristics that go with this. So walking according to our new nature means we are Christ-focused. We see this starting in verse number 20. The new walk in Christ is the exact opposite of the old walk that was happening in the flesh. The old walk was self-focused. The new walk is Christ-focused. I want you to notice the pronoun as well as the noun change that happens from the old to the new. Those are the words that are in bold print on your outline sheet. So notice how it goes from there, them, there, they, themselves, to Christ, him, Jesus. In other words, that old nature is rooted in self. It's what I can do. The new nature is rooted in Christ. It's all focused on him. To learn Christ is to be saved. Now, while that same exact verb can be used of a process of learning, when it is used within the aorist tense in Greek, it means to come to know as a one-time act. So both the context as well as the tense of the verb, it shows that to learn Christ in this context means it's that moment of salvation. You did not learn Christ that way. You did not come to Christ that way. There's a change that has happened. Second part of this, walking according to our new nature means we're spiritually informed. So while we were dominated by the old sin nature, we were ignorant to the truths of God. We already saw that in the previous set of verses. Now, after receiving this new nature in Christ, we're now able to understand, to see, to comprehend the truths of God. We go from a person who is ignorant of his plan, of his goal, of his character, of his mission, of his gospel, to one who's now, all of a sudden, the light comes on, and you can see him for who he is, and you understand the gospel for what it is, and you see truth as it is laid out in his word. There is a light that comes on in that person's mind. Have you ever talked to somebody who is an unbeliever, and some of the most simple ideas of God, it's like going over top of their head? And you start to get frustrated in the moment. You're like, how do you not see this? By the way, all of us prior to Christ were in that same position. Do not get impatient with an unbeliever for not being able to understand the truths of God's word. It has to be that the Spirit of God is turning on the light. He is illuminating the deceived mind. He is helping that person to understand. If that does not happen, they go on in an intellectually futile state. That's what we just learned about with the walk according to our old nature. It says we have been taught in Him, spiritually informed in Him. In Him, it refers to that union with Christ. It further emphasizes the fact that at conversion, we receive the truth that is embodied in Christ. And after that moment of salvation, we are to abide in Him. We don't go back to the old life. We don't go back to the old way of living. But rather, we sit in those truths. We abide in those truths. And you got to sit with those truths day by day, moment by moment, situation by situation. You don't go too far away from the truths of God. Otherwise, you find yourself going back to the habits that you lived with according to the old nature. That's why it's so important. You're renewing the mind here. Walking according to our new nature means we're also delivered from the old. Now, he uses three infinitives in Greek to summarize what they have heard through the effectual call of God, that call of God to salvation. Here's those three infinitives. Lay aside, verse 22. Be renewed, verse 23. Put on, verse 24. Those three infinitives describe what Jesus has done, not what we're expected to do. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a few moments to show you how that connection is made. They are mentioned here to help be a reminder of the reality that we already experience in Christ. That brings to the fourth piece, made new in Christ. Walking according to our new nature means we've been made new in Christ. The word renewed, it appears only in this one place within your Greek New Testament. The best rendering of this phrase would be, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self. Renewal is the result of laying aside the old by putting on the new self. When a person becomes a Christian, God gives them a renewed mind. There's a new capability to understand truth. There's a new sensitivity to God's Spirit. The pieces that didn't make sense before, they now make sense. Once that light has come on, there is a new mind. For the believer's mind to be continually renewed, he or she must walk in obedience to the will of God and the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The process is not a one-time accomplishment. It's not that somebody just wakes up one day early on in their Christian life and they say, all right, my mind is renewed, and all of a sudden it's done for the rest of their Christian life. It is an ongoing, day by day, moment by moment, situation by situation, walk of stepping into the will of God and walking out the Word of God. It is an ongoing piece, continual work of the Spirit in the life of the child of God. Now, there's two key words at the very end of verse number 24 that helps us understand the emphasis as well as the scope of what being renewed is all about. The words are righteousness and holiness. Within this context, righteousness speaks of how we relate to our fellow men, our fellow other people, and reflects the second great commandment. Holiness reflects how we relate to God and how we live out the greatest commandment. The new nature is the believer's truest self. So now let's go back to that big question. How do we go from wanting to do what's right to actually doing what's right? A first step in that process is recognize the old from the new. You and I have to be able to clearly see that's the old life according to the old nature. This is the new life according to the new nature. The freedom you want is found in the new nature you have. Now, if you're able to see the difference between those two lists, four on each side, now you're ready to go into the second step. Reject the old by believing the new. Reject the old by believing the new. Notice I did not say reject the old and believe the new. That implies there's a two-part piece to that process. If you reject the old and say, all right, my first job is to reject everything that is sinful, everything that is imperfect, everything that is false, everything that is ungodly in my life and in the world around me, you will spend the rest of your life in rejection mode and never focus on embracing the new life you have in Christ. If you focus on what the new life in Christ is all about, I guarantee you it will cause you to reject the old. You will be focused on, this is who I am. This is what the Word says. This is what the truth actually is. Now, part of the difficulty that happens in churches is we've been unclear with our terminology, and we've merged the old and the new together. The old and the new have merged together in a way in which it's confusing to people. We tell people things like this. At salvation, God will give you a new start. We say things like, God will take the old pieces of your life and he'll turn them into something beautiful. And there's a part of that that is absolutely true. When you get saved, you get a new start. When you get saved, God can take the tragedy and the sin and the depravity. He can take that whole story. He can walk it through the process of redemption, and he can highlight his glory on the other side. It's true. God can take broken pieces and make something beautiful within the story. But here's the issue when it comes to that. The issue is salvation is not about improving upon what once was. It is about total transformation and a new person from top to bottom. The Bible speaks of believers having, watch this, a new mind, 1 Corinthians 2, a new will, Luke chapter 22, a new heart, Ezekiel 36, a new inheritance, Ephesians 1, a new relationship, Ephesians 2, new power, Ephesians 3, new knowledge, Ephesians 1, new wisdom, Ephesians 1, new understanding, Ephesians 4, new righteousness, Ephesians 4, new love, 1 John chapter 4, new desire, Ezekiel 36, new citizenship, Ephesians chapter 2. The list goes on and on. It all leads into newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. At the moment of salvation, a person becomes a new creation in Christ. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It is not that a person merely receives something new. It is that he or she becomes something new. The Apostle Paul said it like this to the church of Galatia. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The Apostle Paul was not physically crucified with Jesus on the cross. So what's he saying? I've been crucified with Christ. Now he's talking about something within himself. We know it's not a physical crucifixion he walked through. He's referring to a spiritual crucifixion. What part of Christ was what part of Paul was crucified with Christ on the cross? It's that old sin nature. The new nature is not added to the old nature. It replaces that old sin nature. The same is true with us. Colossians 3:3 says it like this: "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Well, but part of us died. It's that old nature, that old self, that old you. The Bible tells us the essence of who you were before Christ, it died with Christ on the cross. Now you're able to walk in a newness of life. Now, that idea is difficult for believers to get our minds around. One, I've already said, because we mix terminology. Sometimes we're talking about the old self, the old man, the old sinful man, the flesh, and all of a sudden, all of those words start to become synonymous. Okay, so part of it is the terminology makes this difficult. But I'm going to say there's another reason we struggle with saying the old sin nature is dead. The old sin nature becomes a really convenient excuse as to why we cannot walk in righteousness. Because we can very easily step into sin and just say, you know what, it's that old man coming back. I try to beat it down day after day. That thing keeps coming back. You know what? This is just what my life is going to look like. That's not the case according to Scripture. One of those things that helps us is the terminology of how God speaks of a believer. It changes after the point of salvation. That is, Scripture refers to Christians as saints. Positionally speaking, it's referring to them as saints, not sinners. It does not mean, please hear me, it does not mean that a Christian does not sin. The issue is the sin no longer defines our position before God. The sin has been dealt with on the cross. So now we are looked at through the blood of Christ. We're looked at through relationship with Christ. We are looked at as being in Him. That is a different position before God. Now, sometimes we hear that and we're like, Paul, I kind of get what you're saying. But when I'm trying to figure out what's going on in my life right now, like some of that doesn't seem to make sense. I've been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years. I don't doubt my salvation. But there are some days it seems as though that sin nature is not only still alive, it's like it went to the gym. It worked out a little bit. It came back stronger than it's ever been. So help me understand, because this doesn't seem to make sense. Well, the Apostle Paul explains it like this, Romans 7, 17 and 18. No longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. That's key, flesh. Greek word right there is sarx, S-A-R-X, flesh. It's a word that describes the desires that are peculiar to humans apart from God's Spirit. Said in a different way, the flesh describes those impulses, those desires, those habits, those traits that we developed while living under that sin nature. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of this. Let's say a drug addict were to come to faith in Christ. In the moment of salvation, that individual is given a new nature in Christ, just like everybody else. But unless God does a miracle, that individual is not immediately released from the impulses, the desires, the traits, the habits that they developed while living under a sin nature and while pursuing drugs as a part of their life. They're going to wake up the day after salvation. Unless God does something miraculous, they're going to be jonesing for a fix. They're going to be moving in the ways that they have before because that's what they've trained their mind to do. It doesn't mean that in time that person is not completely released from that addiction. What it does mean is in that moment there has been a positional change, a nature change. He's now given you the nature of Christ. Now, somebody might say, Paul, I've never wrestled with, with drugs? Is there something that you might be able to bring up that's a little closer to home? Let me try this one. When you're single, you develop the habits of being a single person. Let me describe what some of those habits are. You walk into a room and you scan the crowd. You're looking out, you're seeing, is there anyone in this room I'm attracted to? And then you might take another step. You go up and you talk to whoever you're attracted to. You might even flirt a little bit. You're hoping they're going to flirt back. You're hoping there's going to be a number exchange. You're hoping there's going to be a connection made. But when you're single, you have trained yourself to think like a single person. When you get married, come on now. Hey, let me say it like this. Sometimes a newly married person will walk into a room and they will catch themselves scanning the crowd. And all of a sudden, in the moment, it hits them. They're like, what am I doing? I'm married. Here's what you're doing. You're doing the exact thing you trained yourself to do for 20 to 30 years of your life. You trained yourself to think like a single person. So then that person might find themselves in a similar room, and all of a sudden they find themselves flirting with someone of the opposite sex, and all of a sudden, again, they stop and they're like, what am I doing? I'm married. Here's the thing. That person does not say in that moment, I've just been doing this my whole life. My spouse is going to have to get used to it. Hey, amen. My wife will amen that. What do you do? You retrain your mind to think like a married person. Okay, that's what we're describing here. What I'm saying is the position changed. You went from single to married, but you got to train your mind now to think like a married person. The same issue applies here. We find ourselves in a place where our focus is we've got to train our mind to think like we're living from this new nature in Christ. So what I just described is the reason so many Christians continue in a life of sin. They've undergone a nature change, but it takes time to train the mind to stop thinking according to the old ways and to start living according to the new ways. And the reason that is so important is we've spent a lifetime, many times, developing systems of manipulation and processes for getting what we want and outlets for relieving stress and ways of doing things our own way. And all of that is wrapped up in the flesh. It's the habits, the traits, the tendencies that were developed while living under the sin nature. And that's why Paul says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Now, here's a side note for this. This is also one of those places where the Bible translation you use and the Bible headings that are found in your particular translation can be very confusing. In some Bibles, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, the heading that was put in there is the conflict of two natures. That's sitting right there in so many Bibles. It's in my Bible translation. Okay, I want you to hear this. There is not an error in God's word. There is confusion that was put in by editors. There's a difference between the two of those. Okay, also another part of that is some translations, because they're trying to modernize the language, they associate flesh with the body, the physical body. So what they've done is they've replaced the word flesh with the word nature in that text to try to help people understand what's happening. The problem here is it's two completely different Greek words. The word for nature is physis, P-H-Y-S-I-S. The Greek word for flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X. It's the word sarx that is found in Romans chapter 7. Since the flesh describes the traits developed under that sin nature, those words have almost become synonymous and blended together. Does any of it really matter? Yes. Absolutely. As long as a Christian feels that they are controlled by a sin nature, they act and they live like somebody controlled by that sin nature. When a Christian understands the old nature is dead, it's powerless to control them. It does not dictate their life nor their future. they are completely free in Christ, that person begins to think differently about their current circumstances as well as their future. They begin to see themselves as God sees them. Now, let me give you a number of quotes there. I just want you to hear. This is not just Paul speaking. This is not just my view of this. This is a piece that goes through a lot of theology. Steve McVeigh said it like this. You don't have two natures. The only nature any Christian has is the nature of the Lord Jesus himself. Charles Stanley, very famous, well-known, one of the strongest Bible teachers that has been around the last 100 years, said it like this. God has taken away from us that which was given at birth, that old sinful nature, end of quote. Bill Gillum said it like this. God has no plan for joining his Holy Spirit to any person's old sin nature. He had no plan to give birth to spiritual Siamese twins who are a half spirit child of Satan through Adam and half spirit child of God through Christ. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest theologians out there, said, we are never called to crucify the old man. Why? Because it already happened. The old man was crucified with Christ on the cross. Nowhere in Scripture are we called upon to crucify your old man. Nowhere does Scripture tell you get rid of the old man for the obvious reason it's already gone. John MacArthur said it like this. Biblical terminology does not say that the Christian has two different natures. He has but one nature, the nature of Christ. The old self dies. The new self lives. They do not coexist. The Christian is a single new person, a totally new creation, not a spiritual schizophrenic, end of quote. Those are some strong statements. Now, again, I understand a part of the confusion comes back to the terminology. How do you define certain terms? What do you mean by that? How does it reach into a person's life? As best we can tell through the Word of God, as best I understand, it is that when you got saved, the old sin nature is crucified with Christ on the cross. You're given a new nature, which is the nature of Christ. And in that is all the newness that comes into your life. Reject the old by believing the new. The old nature, dead. New nature, alive. That's why Paul says in verse 22, lay aside the old self. It's dead. It's no longer who you are. Stop dragging it around. Stop using it as an excuse. Stop trying to walk this into your new life. Begin to identify with who you are in Christ. Lay aside the old, put on the new. If you'll remember from last week, these are phrases that are in the aorist tense. And again, I try not to go through and use words aorist tense, those things. I'll try to just say in the tense, this is what it says. But here's why that's so important. It refers to completed action. It's not telling us something to do. It's reminding us of what Christ has already done. That's why in verse 23, he's now saying, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're challenged at this point to be renewed. Let your mind begin to think like those who have the new nature of Christ. God does not see me in terms of that old life. He sees me in light of my new nature in Christ. I used to be defined by my sin. I was called a sinner. Now I'm defined by my Savior. He calls me a saint. I used to be dead in trespasses and sin. Today, I'm alive together in Christ. At one point, I'm identified as a sinner. Now, I'm identified as a saint. In my old nature, I was spiritually bankrupt. In my new nature, I have every spiritual blessing. At one point, I was excluded from the covenants and promises. Through Christ, I've been brought near. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have. Do not put a question mark where God places a period. Recognize the old from the new. Reject the old by believing the new. Renew the mind so that you can live the new. Renewing the mind, it means we continually refresh ourselves in the truths of the gospel, in the truths of God's word. That means when you begin to think or to feel or to live according to that old life, you have to renew your mind. That's not who I am. That's not what my life is. That's not what Christ has given me. Renew your mind in truth. When Satan begins to whisper and bring all the failures of your past back into your life, that's when you say, that's no longer who I am. That's been dealt with by Christ on the cross. Here's who I am in Christ today. You have to renew your mind in truth. The freedom you want is found in the new nature you have. The freedom you want is found in the new nature you have. How do you go from wanting to do what is right to actually doing what is right? Recognize the old from the new. Reject the old by believing the new. Renew the mind so that you can live the new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the freedom, for the liberty, for the encouragement that we find in Scripture. We ask, Lord, tonight that you would help the truths of your word to sink in deep. And God, we will be grateful for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening.